Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Satan cannot do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. And if your life is all screwed up, it is not because of what somebody else has done. Now, other people might have been a tool of the devil and he might have used them, but I'm saying you have a choice whether you become bitter or better. And the moment you say that, no, that's not true, you don't understand, I was abused, I had this happen and I had no choice, well, then you violate the Word of God because it says that there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible says that you could have chosen the good instead of the bad. If it wasn't that way, every person who's been through some traumatic experience would have the exact same results in their life. And yet you can show that that's not so. You can take siblings that were brought up in the same house with the exact same gene pool, the same environment, and one will go this way and one will go that way. One will become an alcoholic because the parents were an alcoholic. The other one will become a teetotaler and say, I'll never be like that and go the opposite direction. It's wrong to sit here and blame your environment and blame everybody else for the way you are. Again, it's a factor, but you have the choice. You were created in the image of God and you have a choice. Satan could not force Adam and Eve into sin and into failure. He had to tempt them into it. That's the reason he chose a cunning animal, and he had to get them to question the Word of God. If our values were based on the Word of God, there would be no deviation. Satan would not be able to get you. It says over in 1 Peter chapter 5 that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. That very verse shows you that he can't just devour everybody. If it was up to Satan, Satan would be killing every one of us, physically, emotionally, financially, in every single area. But he can't do it. It's not up to just Satan. He has to have cooperation. And it may not be knowing that you're cooperating with him, just like I was sharing earlier that I didn't realize that I was fearful of people's opinion about me prospering. I didn't realize I was doing it, but nonetheless, I was still cooperating with the devil and I wasn't free to speak forth all of the things that God was giving me because of a fear of what people would say. And that was me that chose to be that way. And now that I see it, I've chosen to be different. Amen. And it's going to cause a different result. It may not be sinful or malicious on your part, but I can tell you if Satan is destroying your life, he had to have your cooperation to get it done. Thank you for those couple of heads shaking. Not many people like that. We love to blame other people, but the truth is Satan had to come and get them to doubt God and to turn on God. He couldn't force them to do anything. And so the woman responded to him in verse 2 and said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. You know, there's a couple of things wrong with that. First of all, the Lord didn't say you couldn't touch it. She added to it. And then she said, lest ye die. And Jesus said, surely you'll die, or die, die. He emphasized it. It was absolute. There was no question about it. But she says, lest we die, maybe we'll die, possibly we'll die. You know what? You can't add to or take away from what God has said. You just need to stick with what God has said. And boy, I tell you, Satan, if he can't get you to totally disagree with the word, he'll get you to add to it or just subtract from it. I taught a series recently. Pastor Bob was there at our minister's conference, and some of my friends have actually taken grace now, and they have been set free from grace, I mean by grace, from all of the legalism and the performance-based condemnation and things like this, and they have become so free that now they've taken certain truths from the Word of God and they have just chosen to disregard other truths. And they're now believing that there is no hell, that there is no accountability to God. And I countered some of them on it, and they said, well, we just don't believe those parts of the scripture. We believe that that doesn't apply to us today. And see, this is what Satan got Eve to do, is to doubt and question the Word of God. It's dangerous for you to pick and choose which parts of the Bible you want to believe. If you just say, I'm going to believe this part, but I won't believe that part, you know what you're doing, in a sense, is making an idol. That's what an idol is. They don't like God the way it's revealed in Scripture, so they just make their own carving and put, you know, in a certain position in a script, ascribe whatever traits and qualities to it that they want, and they become idolaters. Most of us wouldn't form an image, but what we do, we just pick and choose which parts of the Bible we want to believe. That's idolatry. You're making your own God. You have to take the Word of God and accept the revelation that is given. And so anyway, she added to and weakened what God said. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You know, first of all, he just planted a question. Has God really said? Satan will never just come out and make a frontal attack on the things of God until he's planted a doubt there. And he plants a doubt. If you would deal with the doubt, if you would just sit there and say, yes, God has said, and you just stop right there and don't entertain it, you could stop this. But see, he didn't just start off saying, no, God didn't say this. It's not true. He just planted a little seed. And then he came out and he just made a bold-faced statement that it is not true. You will not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, three different things. Over in 1 John chapter 2, I believe it's around verse 15, it says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, three areas. Jesus had three temptations come against him, and it says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus wasn't tempted with our, you know, temptation to get angry and frustrated over traffic. He wasn't tempted with some of the modern day things we got, but the scripture says he was tempted in all points, like as we are. That's because there's only three areas of sin: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And that you can see that right here. Jesus had it. 1 John chapter 2 talks about it. And so when she saw that the tree was good for food, that's one, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. Now, what does that mean? Do you think that their eyes had been shut prior to this? This isn't saying that they had been walking around with their eyes closed. I've got another great teaching on this that I haven't got time to go into. Matter of fact, the first time I ever taught it was right here at Pastor Bob's church on a Sunday morning. But it's talking about faith. God created mankind not with just five senses the way that most of us know it to be. He created us with six senses. That sixth sense was faith. And Adam and Eve were walking by faith. They were seeing things with their heart. Man, I got a great teaching on this. I haven't got time to teach it right now, but you can turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6 and you can see that Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be open. Now, this isn't talking about that he had his eyes closed, but he was looking at the Syrians that surrounded them, and he said, alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha prayed and said, there's more with us than there are with them. Lord, open up the young man's eyes. And the Lord opened up his eyes. That isn't talking about his physical eyes, but he was talking about the eyes of his heart. And he saw into the spirit realm. There is a spiritual realm that is just as, actually it's more real than this physical world. The spiritual world created this physical world. The spiritual world is the parent force. The spiritual world will exist long after this physical world has been totally annihilated and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The spiritual realm is more real than this physical world. And there's not only a spiritual world outside here, but there's a spiritual realm on the inside of you. And the spirit realm is the real you. Yes. You are a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body, but the Spirit is the life-giving part of you. I could turn over here and show you when He created Adam, He breathed into him the breath of the life. The word breathed right there is the same word that's translated spirit all the way through the Old Testament. He literally blew a spirit inside of Adam, and that's what gave life to him. The life-giving part of you is your spirit. That verse that I've already used, James chapter 2, verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The spirit is the life-giving part to you. The spirit is the real you. This body is just your earth suit. You know, if you wanted to go out into space, you can't exist in space because of the temperature, the lack of oxygen, all of these kind of things. So you have to have a space suit. If you want to exist in this earth, you have to have an earth suit. This is your earth suit. But when you lose your earth suit, you don't cease to exist. You just go into a different realm. You go into the spiritual realm, the soulish realm and stuff. So anyway, it says when their eyes were opened, they had been walking by faith. They were more dominated by the spiritual world. The spiritual things were more real to them than physical things. But when they ate of this fruit, their spiritual eyes closed and their physical eyes became dominant. The way that you and I see and think and feel right now, and we think that this is all normal, this is actually abnormal to the way God created us to be. And through the new birth, we've now got a new spirit on the inside of us. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We as New Testament believers should be back the way that Adam and Eve were intended to be, and it ought to be more real to us than this physical, tangible realm.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the human conscience. This new teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is available as a brand new book or in a live CD album. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Ask for Who Told You That You Were Naked when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify book or CD album. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request Who Told You That You Were Naked when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area.
I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, you've been listening to this radio and I know it's touched you. People's lives are being changed. And I'd like to ask you to just sow some seed and help us to reach out and touch more people. We are on radio stations all over the United States, of course, television and other things. And it just costs a lot of money to deliver the gospel to people. So I'd ask you to pray about becoming a partner with us. A grace partner is a person who gives on a monthly basis but doesn't receive material back. You're just giving to help us reach out. So pray about it. If the Lord leads you, then please become a grace partner with us today.